Silence.
Oppenheimer.
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio.
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 167 of Nerd Pride Radio. 167, according to various internet references that were way too difficult for me to source because I am way too lazy to bother. The average American adult spends 167 minutes per day on the internet. I always knew I was above average, so ask me how I'm doing today. Go on.
How you doing?
Go on. Ask me.
How you doing?
Thank you, Eli. I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's like seven other kinds of nerd I only wish I was nerdy enough to be.
I'm a phone nerd.
Phone? Well, that's you, because he just got a new phone for Christmas. His first phone. He's thrilled.
And it's the newest version.
That's
and
right.
And I somehow learned to use it. I guess it just goes to the family.
That's right. You're a phone prodigy is what you are. So, anyway.
Phone blood.
You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to hang around about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore.
You want me to take the cat?
No. Bear's here. Guys, this is Bear. Say hi, Bear. He's waving. You guys can't see it. But he
now,
really, really, really wants to walk on my keyboard. So, as usual. As usual, you're listening to the best smelling podcast on the internet. That's right. Much like this room now, Nerd Pride smells exactly like the seat cushion in Santa's sleigh. So, before we get started.
Which isn't that good.
No, it's not good at all. Thanks, Eli. Before I get started, I do have a couple of Mike was wrong. First, last week, I was doing my uncomfortable topics, and I was talking about internet trolls and how they attacked Kellyanne Conway, which was absolutely wrong because Kellyanne Conway actually works for Trump and blah, blah, blah. What I meant was Megyn Kelly. They both have Kelly in their name. It was an honest mistake. Anyway, I meant Megyn Kelly. Also, another Mike was wrong. Last week, I couldn't come up with an answer for the artist I would most like to see in concert. And then my good buddy Dave, who goes by Eli Hat on the board, he reminded me that the artist I would most like to see in concert is him. And he's absolutely right. And he said maybe it didn't qualify because I've already seen him perform. But I saw him perform with a different group. What I'd like to see is a concert of Sphere Ensemble, whose album I own, and they are amazing. And I would love to see all of them, but Dave especially, perform in concert. That would be awesome. So that was the correct answer. Thank you, Dave. Also, before I get started, updates. This is something I should do every few episodes as a regular segment, which is called Board Games. Except when I'm talking about boards, I'm talking about games that we're playing on the forums. So thank you, Pete, to bringing this up to me, Pete from Me Like Trivia, one of the other podcasts on the Nerd Pride Network. And Pete mentioned that, God, you know, we have an awful lot of games running around here. It might be nice to point them out to people. And so he's created a thread in the gaming forum to kind of keep track of a lot of the different stuff that that we're playing online. And so, for example, there's easily four or five open trivia games in the Me Like Trivia forums at any given time. Deadpool that we're playing, the Nerd Pride Radio Deadpool. Actually, officially starts now. Everyone submitted their lists to me by last night. I still haven't compiled them yet, so I suppose if someone submitted something, you know, before I get to it, which won't be for a couple hours here, they could still weasel their way in. But we've got 10 people in and a couple more people who I think are going to wait until after the official draft, and then they're going to take, pick up whatever leftovers are out there. And so we've got our Nerd Pride Deadpool for 2017 going on. There is the Build a Title game, which we've stolen, just completely ripped off from Doug Love's movies. And so the Build a Title game is going on, where we have to, you have to link movie titles together that sound similar. There's an Unkillable thread going, because we always have an Unkillable thread. And I've talked about Hero Battle before. I think it was Ronster, asked that maybe we start another battle. And so it's time for that. And so we're going to start a Star Wars battle, probably starting this week. I'll probably post the information in the next day or two here and start taking nominations. So if you want to get in on Hero Battle, Star Wars Battle in this case, come on over to, it'll be in the gaming table forum at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. And the way you play in Hero Battle, super simple. Everyone gets assigned a character, in this case, Star Wars characters. Everyone gets assigned a character, and each character has, 10 hit points or whatever we start the game with. And then every day, each person gets one turn. So each day you log in, and you pick out two characters who you want to hit, and one character that you want to heal. And every hit takes off one hit point, every heal puts one back on, and whenever a character gets to zero hit points, they die and they're out of the game. And whoever's the last person left wins. And there's some more complicated stuff that goes along with it. You have nemeses, and if you can, if you're one of your nemeses dies, you get bonus points for that. You try and keep your identity secret. If anyone can call you out and guess who you are, then you take a hit for that. There's other stuff that goes on. But the basics are every day you come in, you hit two people, you heal one person, and then that's it until the next day. It takes you 5 minutes a day to play, and it's a lot of fun, and each game usually runs about 2 weeks or so, and they're very, very cool. So if you want to join Hero Battle, you can do that. So, well, I say in the next couple of days. So you guys will listen to this Monday morning probably. So if you get in by probably the end of this week, we probably won't actually start the game officially until we've got all the nominations in. So we'll give it about a week or two to make sure anyone who wants to get in can. So come join us. What else do we have for games? Oh, God, my wife's been gathering photos for a new Caption This Photo contest, so I think we may be doing that coming up soon. We play a lot of games on the boards, and even though we have a gaming table forum, we kind of spread the games out that there's a lot of them in Me Like Trivia. There's some in the Nerd Babble section. We just kind of play them where they fit in. And so, if you're into games, and if you're listening to this podcast, you might be, come join us. Anyway. That's it for updates, I think. Yeah, that's it. Let's call that good. It is time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list in my handy-dandy pocket mod, and the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. And also, I suppose one other thing I should mention is you guys will notice a lot of noise going on because I'm recording on Christmas Day, and therefore my whole family is home. I have all four kids here. Eli is the only one who's joining.
Zeus has spoken up.
Yeah, we're getting to Zeus. Eli is right here joining me on the microphone for now until he gets
John
bored.
John finally responded on my phone.
Shh.
I thought everyone would like to know that.
Yeah, they're thrilled. He's been setting up his phone. He's been messaging people, emailing people, calling people, getting numbers put in there. He is so excited. In addition to having everyone around, so you'll hear doors opening and closing, people passing by, probably kids arguing with each other in the next room, who knows what. But as Eli points out, the weather is going crazy here. We've got 60-mile-an-hour winds going on right now. And so stuff is blowing over. We just had garbage cans rolling through our yard, and we took them over to the neighbors, and they said, no, they're not ours. We don't know where they came from down the block. Branches are coming down, so there's a lot of noise out there. And so as you hear things rattling and clacking and whatnot, that's a lot of what it is. So anyway, we will just plow right through it because this is going to be an awesome show. The very first thing I'm going to do in my meticulously plotted portion is I'm going to do a little science corner.
Ooh, she blinded me with science.
She blinded me with science.
Blinded me with science.
Okay, I don't know if this really fits in the science corner, but... Oh, I'm sorry. That music means if you don't walk away now, you might be in danger of learning something. I don't know if this really fits in the science corner, but I'm talking about gorillas. That's all science-y, right?
Is it about Harambe?
No, it is not about Harambe. You can put your dicks away.
What?
Dicks out for Harambe. It's a meme.
I know.
Okay. Well,
it's like, what's the difference between bullets and humans?
No, I am not telling any Harambe jokes. I get that. All right.
He really hates them.
Yeah.
I find them funny.
All right. Anyway, the gorilla I'm talking about in particular is Kolo the gorilla. And Kolo, unlike Coco, don't get him confused. Kolo the gorilla is C-O-L-O. And Kolo, so named because she was born in Columbus, Ohio. And so it's C-O-L for Columbus, O for Ohio, Kolo. And Kolo the gorilla, who shares a birthday with my brother Kyle, by the way, Kolo the gorilla was born in 1956, December 22nd, 1956. She was the first gorilla ever born in captivity, at least that we're aware of. Who knows if some prehistoric gorilla was born in captivity. Well, not prehistoric, but anyway. Silly thing to talk about. Anyway, the first gorilla born in captivity, Kolo, born in 1956. And so, having celebrated her 60th birthday just 3 days ago, her 60th birthday, she is the oldest living gorilla in captivity, thus, more than likely, the oldest living gorilla. And, in fact, she's been the oldest living gorilla for the last 5 years. So, No, the last one who died was 55. When he died, she became the oldest living gorilla. And now she's 60. Now, in addition to Kolo the gorilla just turning 60 and being the oldest living gorilla and first one born in captivity, Kolo the gorilla, as I did my research, has children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and in 2003, her very first great-great-grandchild was born. And in fact, that gorilla was born at the Henry Dorley Zoo, my zoo, right here in Nebraska, in Omaha, and was born not just on Eli's birthday, but born the same day as Eli. How amazing is that in 2003? And that that gorilla's name...
Oh, that's also National Nerd Day.
Right, which is also National Nerd Day. And that gorilla's name is Bambio, and she's actually one of our favorites because when we go down there, we see Bambio because they've got... Henry Dorley, on the outside of the enclosures, there are pictures of all the gorillas, and they put up pictures, and then they have their names and descriptions of them, when they were born, personality traits, interesting things about them. And so we spot Bambio all the time when we're down there, and she is really, really cool. She's one of their teenager gorillas, and she's just awesome. And so Bambio is one of our favorites, and happens to be, again, Kolo's first of, now she's got three, but her first great-great-granddaughter. So, very, very cool. Anyway, that's it for the Science Corner. I think most of this is going to go pretty quick, maybe, but we'll see how it goes. If not, you know, I'm hoping to do a lot of listener betrayal. I'm hoping to do a lot of podomatics later. But let's see what it takes to get through the rest of this. What's next on my list, Eli? Oh, here it is. Oh, all right. We're going to go over this one really quick. I've got another installment of Uncomfortable Topics. Okay. This is sad, but I have discovered recently that the less informed I am, the happier I am. It's terrible, but man, it's so true. I'm standing in line at the grocery store, and the National Enquirer has their latest, and I'm, you know, the National Enquirer never been a primary source for news, one would hope. Never been known as the most reliable news source, except in their own eyes. But man, their headlines on the National Enquirer, screaming Trump's praises. I mean, it is, they've got a huge picture of Trump and the headlines, I mean, talking about how awesome he is and he hasn't even taken the job yet. It's, oh my God. And so they've got three bullet points. One, Trump nixes the $4 billion Air Force One, saves America tons of money, which, complete lie. Yes, he nixed Air Force One, the new plane that they're building, but good Lord, the thing wasn't even close to $4 billion. It wasn't even close to $1 billion. The thing was a reasonably priced airplane that probably they actually need because the old ones are outdated and we have new security needs and new technology needs. And yet he tweets out that it's a $4 billion plane, therefore he's not going to take it. And he's put the kibosh on it. And he gets praised for that when it's a lie. Absolute lie. Then the next headline about how Trump saves thousands of American jobs. No, he saved 1,000 American jobs, and he saved those 1,000 American jobs by paying off the company $7 million, which, by the way, the company claims that they're going to use to be automating their American factory, which will thus eliminate jobs. There's lots of other reasons why this is a horrible idea, to just go one-on-one with companies and strike deals like this. Paying them off, and they're not even keeping all their jobs here. They're just keeping 1,000 of them here. Sad. Third bullet point is Trump puts China in their place over this whole drone incident, which Trump was – the whole drone thing comes up, and it is the work of the current administration's diplomatic team that got them to agree to return the drone in the first place. But don't worry, this headline and Trump's tweets are just going to take credit for the whole incident as if his threatening demeanor is what caused them to finally cough the thing up. When, by the way, after the deal was already struck, Trump had no clue what was going on and put out yet another tweet going, they should just keep it. I mean, these are the headlines yelling at us from our newsstands. And I know it's the Inquirer again. I know it's the Inquirer, but it's reflective of so much out there. And just the other day, I'm going to work. I ran out of podcasts. I didn't download any extras before I went. I'm driving to work, and I decide I will put on some national. I will put on. Hold on a second. Weird. Sorry about that. I was very distracted. There was a bunch of hooting and hollering from the back of the house, and I think it's all Pokemon related. I have no idea what's going on. Anyway, so I ran out of podcasts, and I'm driving to work, and I thought, okay, I'll put on some National Public Radio, the other NPR. And I'm listening to National Public Radio, and literally, it's a 7-minute drive to work. Before I even get to work, I find myself yelling at Arthur Laffer on my radio, because I am so angry at the man. Being informed is just so painful. Everything just makes you angry. Oh, I mean, Arthur Laffer was wrong when he was convincing Reagan that supply-side economics was a good thing. He's wrong now. This is so frustrating. So, I know that this whole being ignorance is bliss, I suppose, is how I would phrase it. And I understand that seems like a direct contradiction of my more recent statements about staying informed, learning about all sides, that whole thing. But I'm a fickle thing, and I'm not made of stone, people. I mean, seriously, there's only so much I can take. I'll get back to being informed again soon, but for right now, I just can't take it. Oh, I am gonna tune all that stuff out. I'm gonna stop falling for the clickbait, and I'm just gonna get to where I can relax a little bit, and then I'll try again. Probably right around the time Trump actually takes the oath of office. Then I'll start paying attention again. We'll see how it goes. No, but seriously, enough uncomfortable topics. It's time for a nerd culture report.
I thought this was bowling for weirdos.
No, Eli, but you are very, very close. Actually, what it is it's Christmas. Merry Christmas to all of you, or whatever midwinter festivities you're into. Hopefully, you've got something going on, because seriously, these are the dark days of winter. You need some sort of celebration to rouse your spirits and bring you around. Hopefully, things are going very, very well for you guys. But so far, we, our family, the Joneses, the original nerds, we're having a great time. Seriously. Eli, what'd you get for Christmas?
A phone.
A phone! Awesome! What kind of phone?
I'm just going to say a Verizon.
Just a Verizon?
Well, no, it's a
Galaxy S7 Edge.
Lord.
Yes, Edge Lord. That's you. So yes, he got the phone and he is thrilled. It is his first phone and it is awesome. And actually, while that happened, me and my wife Lisa and my other son Aiden, we all got new phones. and it's all very, very cool. Oh, it's so nice. Because we were all due for phones, and mine was broken, and Lisa and Aiden both had their phones are just old and so slow, and it's so nice to be updated. So everyone's thrilled to death. And as long as we have the phones came for free. They were on sale, so we got them for less than half the usual monthly payment. And on top of that, they all came with the virtual reality headsets, which you guys know I already wanted so bad. And so we've already loaded up some goofy stuff to show it off a little bit. And so everyone's gotten to do the virtual reality, and it's really scary and funny and entertaining. And hopefully we can take it with us out to the big family Christmas, which is actually going to be New Year's Eve out at my wife's parents' house. And so all of her siblings will be there, and all the grandchildren on that side will be there. And it'll be a really cool time, and we'll show it off. But you know what else we're going to do while we're out there next weekend? We're going to play some Secret Hitler. That's right, because I own Secret Hitler, and I'm so excited about it. Oh, so good. I got, for games at least, I got Secret Hitler. I got a game called Quix, I believe is the name of it, which is a dice game that Yancey gave me, and it actually plays really cool. And I also got some Sushi Go, which thrills me to no end. I got some Exploding Kittens, which I love Exploding Kittens. I can't wait. My wife got another expansion pack for Cards Against Humanity, so we'll be doing some of that. I got a bunch of dice, it's like six sets of matching crystal dice. So six full sets, and they each come with their own dice bag. And God, you know how I love dice.
For
I
God's just sake, how long does it take you to throw say
them out,
something?
Throw them out and roll around in them. It'll be awesome. Is okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
How long does it take you to not notice the banana slug mask or say something about it to them? I'm wearing a banana slug mask.
Eli, it's wearing one of Aiden's favorite gifts this year. Aiden asked for and was so excited to receive a banana slug mask. If you've not seen the banana slug mask, stop. Go to Google right now and then search for banana slug mask, and you'll see it. And Aiden's thrilled to death. And so, yeah, Eli has been wearing the banana slug mask, leaning in towards me and staring at me, waiting for me to say something.
And the rule is that you can't speak while it's on your head. So, right. Dad, right now?
No. I'm not. I can't. I have to record.
It would be funny if I just did some commentary while you had it on for a few minutes.
Oh, you think you can talk?
Yeah.
All right. You do some Christmas talk here. I'll put on the banana slug mask, and you talk. All right. Watch your voice up here. Make sure that you're actually recording. Go.
Okay. You put it on. Okay. Also for Christmas, we had a lot of our presents put onto the table, so we couldn't really eat Christmas at the table this time. Also, we couldn't put many ornaments on the tree because we're afraid of Bear knocking down everything, but I don't think that was a problem this year with him. And also, we got him a giant tower that we haven't opened yet, Dad, or Slug Dad.
Oh, yeah, that's true. My mom, in addition to getting us the cat, my mom bought us the cat as our Christmas present, but in addition to getting us the cat, we now have a 6-foot-tall cat tower that we're going to put together that's also from my mom. And she got, in fact, my mom did an entire pet theme this year. So in addition to the cat tower and the cat and a couple of little cat toys, there was also stuff for Miles the Hedgehog, Jacob's Hedgehog, who is home right now because Jacob's home for the whole week. And so he brought Miles home with him. Oh my God, Miles is the best, you guys. Seriously, this hedgehog is the most adorable. He is adventurous and just cool.
It's funny when Bear is looking at him from the top. It's funny when Bear is looking at him from the top of the couch and just staring at him and saying, I want to eat you, but you're so pokey.
I don't think Bear wants to eat him. I think Bear just wants to play. Bear has not recognized Miles is potential prey yet.
But Miles is such a jerk. He's just like, he just walks up to him to be a jerk and puff up and go,
See, and that's true, is that Miles is up on we were in the bedroom and Miles was up on the bed with us because Jacob was in there talking to us. We were all sitting on the bed. I can't remember if we were watching. Oh, we were watching a YouTube video. And so Miles is there with us on the bed. And so Bear comes in, and Bear jumps up, and we're like, all right, well, let's see what happens. And so Bear just kind of curls up and lays in, you know, sniffs around him a little bit, looks, decides he's harmless. So Bear just lays there looking like he's going to go to sleep, and Miles just, we thought it was an accident, but Miles keeps edging closer and closer and closer, and finally Bear puts a paw out to see what's going on, and Miles suddenly puffs up, and the cat flies straight up in the air, because he was not expecting that at all, flies straight up in the air, and somehow jet propulsion in his butt when he gets to the top of his leap, and boom, shoots across the room before he ever hits the floor. And so Bear didn't leave. He just laid there on the floor next to the bed. But Miles, after like a minute, Miles is like wandering around looking for the cat. Finally spots him, and he's like leaning way over the edge of the bed, looking at the cat, trying to get down to him. Miles wants to play. This hedgehog, for a while, chased the cat around the living room a little bit. And when I say chase the cat around, Bear's into it as well. Bear will come up, and he'll paw at him a little bit, and they play a little bit. But Miles, at one point, Miles apparently, and I wasn't in the room for this one, this is just from Jacob's report, Miles intentionally darts underneath the cat. He's like going at full run across the living room, darts underneath the cat, and then just as he gets up underneath him, puffs up so his spines go up, brushes the underside of the cat's belly, freaks the cat out again. Miles thinks he's funny. He's just adventurous. I mean, we were out at my in-law's place today because it's also my, it's my father-in-law's birthday on Christmas Day. So we went out to see him.
And, not many presents.
I know, not as many presents. Well, also.
Yeah, I was an old man.
Yeah, when you're 60 some years old, you don't get as many presents either. But we were out there seeing them, and Miles is up on my shoulder as I'm talking to people, and he's just hanging out there on my shoulder. And then for no reason, he just decides to take a leap, because that's what Miles does. He loves to jump from stuff.
And he thinks Jacob will always catch him.
And Jacob did catch him. That's the thing is, Miles takes a leap off of me, and I had my hand out, and I would have caught him just fine. But I mean, Jacob from across the room darts in, and boom, he's already under him. So Miles can leap from anywhere knowing that, Jacob will get me. It'll be fine. It's like his own built-in parachute.
Hey, Jacob, catch me!
Yeah, he's got his own safety net that just follows him around everywhere.
Also his dad.
Miles is just awesome. So my mom, in addition to getting the cat tower and the cat, also got Miles some stuff, which it turns out that we had an earlier cat tower that we knew that a big one was coming for Christmas. So we just got him a little cat tower, and Bear never really liked the little cat tower, but Miles loves that thing. He loves climbing through it. He loves getting up inside the little cubby hole of it. It's his new safe place. So he's getting that cat tower in addition to an igloo with stairs on the outside and a little seesaw for him to play on, because he'll run back and forth across the seesaw. And he's adventurous. He just likes that stuff. So anyway, super cool stuff. And then, you know, everybody got clothes, underwear, socks, stuff that we needed. Everybody gets a new pair of jeans.
No, don't pause it now. Don't pause it.
Don't pause it? What?
I got the best pictures.
Oh, God. he's over there taking selfies of himself in a banana slug mask while I'm recording.
I'm going to make that my background. How do I do
you
that?
Are adorable. You have to probably hold on the picture itself, and you can make it your background. But anyway, well, if you can't figure it out, I'll show you after I'm done recording. All around, awesome Christmas. The kids got lots of good stuff. I got lots of good stuff. Lisa got lots of good stuff. And we're all really happy. So I think tomorrow we're going to pick up some of our Christmas mess, kind of get the presents all put away. And tomorrow, since I have the day off of work, and obviously everyone else does too, but I get one day. And so we'll sit around and maybe watch some movies, play some games. It's going to be a good, relaxing day. Because the weather is not up for us going anywhere.
I'm just going to grab a soda quick.
You go do what you need to do, buddy. Okay. All right, last thing.
I'm beautiful.
Yes, you are beautiful. But the last thing is something completely different.
And now for something completely different.
That's right, something completely different, things I just don't have a category for yet. My wife sent me a link to an article, and I just went and looked it up, so I actually have a reference. It is from Persephone Magazine, so persephonemagazine.com, and is an article entitled Listening While Feminist in Defense of Listening While Feminist in Defense of Baby It's Cold Outside. Everyone knows nowadays, we all know Baby It's Cold Outside as being the rapiest Christmas song ever. And there's a lot of stuff about that. There's a guy clearly clearly trying to convince a girl to go to bed with him, and he seems extremely pushy, and she seems reluctant, and there's even a line where she says, "Hey, what's in this drink?" as if maybe there's a roofie situation going on. It's just a very, very rapey sort of song. And this article gives a really good defense of why it's not so much. And I find it fascinating. And I actually think they've got a really good point. Because, you know, I mean, look, this song's been critiqued and made fun of in lots of different contexts. There's even rapier versions of it. There's, if you watch Key and Peele's send up of it, they've altered it, so they're not using the actual song and music, but it's close enough that you clearly know what they're talking about. There's a lot of stuff out there. And also, my apologies if my repeated use of the word rapey is offensive, but that's how it gets described.
At least it's not
hold on.
Well, at least it's not like some people on the internet who mix up rapping with raping.
Yeah, that's a Jax Films thing.
I know, but at least we're not those people.
You know, that's just bad spelling. This is, all right, anyway, in defense of this song, I read the article, my wife sent it to me about a month ago, so I'm working completely from memory. Even though I have the article right in front of me, I'm not actually going to read it. I'm just going to work from memory. But the point was, the song is actually very appropriate when taken in cultural context. At the time that the song was written, back in the, 40s? 50s? I mean, how old is this song? Back in the time that it was written, that it's not a song about him trying to force himself on her, because the song indicates that they're already a couple. There are several lines that indicate that they're already a couple, as far as that goes, and it indicates that they've already been fooling around up to this point, because she has a line about "lend me a comb." It's clear that they've been messing around already, and now she's worried about what other people will think. And the article will explain it way better than I will, but the idea is that it's not that he's trying to force himself on her. It's that they both want to do this. They both want to have her spend the night. They both want to spend the night together and take this further, but she's worried about what people will think. And so what he's doing throughout this is he's offering her excuses to say, well, look, if you need to explain it to him, yeah, tell him this. Tell him it was too cold. Tell him the cabs weren't running. Tell him it's not about trying to convince her to go to bed with him, because she already wants to go to bed with him. It's trying to convince her that she will have plausible deniability the next day, that she'll be able to explain, because all of her protests are about what her mom is going to think, what her dad will say, her siblings, her neighbors, and so it's all about him offering the plausible excuses that she would need if that's really what her concern is. And I think in that context, I really think the song is pretty harmless. And it is something that is really hard to relate to nowadays, because in our modern culture, you know, if you want to sleep with somebody, then you're allowed to sleep with somebody. And it's really none of anybody else's business what you do with your life. And I know that there are still places and people who that is a concern for, and they do worry about what other people will think. And there are lots of parts of our country where that mindset is still, you know, you don't want to come off as that kind of person or whatever. But it's still, as a whole, the mindset of 70 years ago is not all that relatable. It's just, unless you take it in the context in which it was written, very easy to misunderstand it. And certainly, in today's society, if you hear this song played imagining that it is a modern couple today, yeah, that song is rapey as hell. It comes off really badly in the context of today. But at the time it was written, not so much. And I find that fascinating. I find that really interesting. And moreover, the line, the most troublesome line of the song, the "Hey, what's in this drink?" line. If, again, you go back to the lingo of the day, as it were, "what's in this drink?" was the equivalent in the 40s and 50s of, what the hell were you smoking? It is, not saying literally that they think something is in the drink. It is that you're blaming strong drink for silly behavior or foolish behavior or, and so in that context, her line, hey, what's in this drink, is her saying, you know, she's looking for the excuse. She's looking for the reason to stay. It is not, the idea of a roofied drink in that day and age. That was not something that was in the, popular zeitgeist. It's not something that would have been the first thing to come to someone's mind, if it was put into a song. Not that stuff like that didn't happen. I'm sure it did, but it didn't have the cultural awareness that it has now. So anyway, I just thought the whole article was just really interesting and a way to look at that song in another light and go, oh, you know what? You know, for its day, makes perfect sense. By our standards, kind of silly. And certainly if you sing it literally nowadays, can come off, really aggressive and inappropriate. But again, it had its place. And for that, makes me feel better appreciating that song because I've always liked that song. I always really liked Baby It's Cold Outside. I've thought it's a great song. If it's performed well, it's just, it, I don't know. It's a good wintertime song. But anyway, enough of that stuff. You know what it's time for now, Eli? Do you? He's too busy with the banana slug mask. He doesn't know what time it is.
I think I know what it is. Is it the autopotamutic?
Oh my god, the autopotamutic? Yes, it's time for the autopotamutic. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble. That's him that you heard just there. And he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that's where you come in. You guys want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, as Ronster just did, he sent me a huge Christmas present of 40 brand new Pod-O-Matics. You send those to me by private message. I will add them to my Pod-O-Matic list, because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And our first number here is 34. And this first one is from Ronster. And Ronster says, where have all the cowboys gone? Eli, if you're going to keep doing that, you're going to leave. Do you understand? You get it?
There's no commentary.
Oh, there's plenty of commentary from me. I could, it is possible, I could do this podcast without you if I had to.
That would be boring.
Right, it wouldn't be nearly as good, but I could. So the question is, where have all the cowboys gone?
Well, you see, when cultures change, some things die out, like fedoras. Those weren't even good during their time.
Right, but then fedoras come back. And no, fedoras were very, very stylish in their day. And, you know, then they came back and they became just hipstery, and then they died out again, mostly, one would hope. So, seriously? Seriously?
I can't hold it.
All right. The real answer to where have all the cowboys gone? What? Man, you clearly do not live in Nebraska because they're all here. Oh, man, there are cowboys everywhere. I know ranchers, and I know farmers, and I know cowboys, and they still wear the hats and they still wear the boots. And instead of horses, some of them still ride horses. Most of them, pickup trucks and four wheelers. But they're still out there and there's plenty of them, man. Plenty of them. 91 is 91 is from, it's from Kyle. And
Wait, can I read it? I'll read it.
You seriously want to read it?
Move out of the chair.
All right. Dude, that's on you.
Okay. I'm bad at reading, but Dad, if I have troubles.
You want me to make it larger for you?
Yeah, a little bit larger. No, right, no, I think I could read it. It looks. Okay, let's do this.
All right, hold on.
This is going to be my greatest achievement since yesterday.
Right, exactly. Where's the. Why does it not have The View on it?
I don't
know.
Not
the TV show The View, but the, for some reason.
It does. Do you really have to make references?
Yes, it's what I do, man. Here, let's do
this. Well, I could read it right now. It's fine. Okay, there we go. Let's do this.
All right.
You lost it.
Just go down.
There it is.
Okay.
All right. It's from Kyle. And Kyle says...
Stephen Hague. Stephen Hawking recently came up with a statement saying that we need to not create weapons that are controlled by artificial intelligence. The argument boils down to, if someone's going to pull a trigger, it needs to be a human. A bunch of scientists agreed. Isn't it inevitable? Though we already have underwater robots that swim around and the coral reefs and inject poison into non-native starfish that are destroying the reefs. Isn't this within spitting distance of what Stephen Hawking is talking about? Spitting distance for you and me, not Stephen Hawking. Obviously.
Stephen Hawking can't spit that far. Okay.
What?
You know Stephen Hawking.
I know. What?
So clearly, Stephen Hawking can't spit that far, but you could. All right. That is an excellent question. And
very long statement, Kyle.
Yeah, and also the computer is set way back on the table. It is difficult to read. But you did an awesome job. So, I'm surprised. You took that on.
For God's sake, Zeus, go home!
Oh, seriously, the weather gods are drunk. All right. So, having read that question, yeah, I know. Stephen Hawking really thinks that we shouldn't be putting so much power into the hands of AI. But honestly, creating weapons that are controlled by artificial intelligence, yeah, a human really needs to pull that trigger. I mean, boy, if it's a matter of life or death, shouldn't it be a human making the decision? And I agree with that to a point, but you know what? We already have computers making so many decisions. Do you know how dangerous it is that we have computers making our financial decisions, that the movements of the stock market are guided by machines, programs, algorithms deciding when it's time to buy and sell stuff, and it's dangerous. It's really dangerous. I mean, the fact that we could have an economic collapse, or you know, at least have serious economic damage done because computers are running the show. There's no human behind it making the decisions, and there are situations where computers just don't recognize what's going on. They're just following their algorithm, following their programming. Just something trips the trigger and off they go. And, you know, I say that there's a threat of economic collapse as a result, but I mean, we've already seen disastrous stuff. People who have lost millions, even billions of dollars because machines were making those decisions. Now, in general, the machines make these people a ton of money, and it's way more efficient than waiting around for people to try and make those same calls. But it's the idea that they're playing micro markets. They're doing trades that may only last, you know, a matter of minutes or seconds, because there's money to be made in that quick up and down, playing those minor fluctuations. How much damage does that do to us as an economy? That there's that much flow going on just over the teeniest of things, stuff that if it was all up to humans, we wouldn't even be able to follow it, much less play those markets. How dangerous is that? So, you know, the fact that we might automate weapons, it's a similar level of danger. And while I agree that in an ideal world, machines shouldn't be able to make decisions that could destroy us, I do think it's inevitable. And I think that it is up to us to stay ahead of those dangers and have safeguards in place, because I don't think we're going to be able to stop machines, even if, you know, as you point out with the starfish, that, and I'm assuming that your story is true. I've never heard that before, but man, that's fascinating. We honestly have robots swimming around coral reefs and poisoning starfish. That's cool. But the idea that we program something to make a decision like that it identifies the starfish and it kills them off. All right. Maybe identifying starfish is pretty simple, but we're going to put AI in charge of other similar projects where we're not talking about weapons, and we're not talking about them having to, you know, necessarily pull a trigger, but we are giving them tools that, if they misuse those tools, even though they're not meant as weapons, they could misuse them in such a way that lots of people could get hurt. I mean, you know, the fact that we already have automated systems managing the internal workings of nuclear plants. If something goes wrong there, yeah, the nuclear plant is not intended as a weapon. It's an energy source. And yet, if computers make a mistake there, hundreds, thousands of people could potentially die. And so, you know, putting them behind, you know, behind the trigger of a gun? Okay. I mean, it's not, they're making the same kinds of decisions that now, all right, maybe it's different when you're, when the decision they're making is literally whether or not someone should live or die, as opposed to making decisions about how to run something and an accident could cause people to live or die. Maybe there's a difference there. There probably is. I'm sure there is. But yeah, I think it's inevitable, and I think it is mankind's duty to stay ahead of that. And we're not always going to be perfect at it. And hopefully, when mistakes come along, there are mistakes that, oh, we identify what went wrong, we fix it, we get better, and the net positives to the human race, outweigh the losses that happen, when something does go wrong. And hopefully one of those mistakes doesn't, you know, end all life as we know it, because that would suck. So, something like that. Oh, thank God for R2. I didn't know where to go with that one anymore. 52. And 52 comes from Ronster again. Ron says, what do you take for a headache? Eli, what do you take for a headache?
Ibuprofen.
Yeah, that's...
No, what I should have said is my edgelord answer is drugs, man.
No. Well they are technically drugs. It is drugs. You're right. And I don't think you're using the word edgelord correctly.
Shut up!
So,
saying is my most goth-like answer.
Yeah, but edgelord, I know your brother uses edgelord to insult you.
I'm using it as in I am an edgelord.
Yeah, I know. But he uses it to imply that you're gothy and dark. But edgelord is you're edgy, which means I think it's more of a hipster reference. I don't know. I'm not a master of the term. But
basically, Aiden's an edgelord.
I'm saying Aiden was wrong. That's what I'm saying.
Why don't you have that section ever on your podcast?
Because normally we don't point out when other people are wrong on my
Aiden
podcast.
Has
we just
time
point.
Wrong by what
we
you
just point out.
Me.
Just point out when I'm wrong. So anyway,
you're almost never wrong.
For me, for a headache, yeah, usually just ibuprofen. And I try not to take medicine for headaches very often, but, you know, a couple times a week I might. Maybe that's a lot. I don't know. More often, though, actually, usually before I go to bed, I might, if I'm feeling like I'm stuffed up, I might take 2 Sudafed before I go to bed to help keep my sinuses clear and thus help me from getting a headache. So maybe that counts? Yeah. 28 is, oh, it's from Humongous. Hey, Humongous. And Humongous says, does Time Bandits still hold up? No. I'm pretty sure Time Bandits does not still hold up. When I first saw Time Bandits when I was a teenager, it was a movie that I knew I was really supposed to like, because it was just one of those. And I wound up not enjoying it as much as everyone else did. I mean, it was good, but it wasn't great. And then I saw it again, maybe when I was in college. And I really liked it when I was in college. And then I saw it as an adult maybe 15 years ago. I mean, it's been a while. And I remember thinking at the time that, yeah, it's all right. I mean, it's cute and, you know, there's some nostalgia factor to it, but it wasn't. Yeah, wasn't awesome. And I always remember, especially that ending being super cheesy and dumb. I remember, I'm guessing. I haven't watched it in 15 years, but I didn't think it was holding up then. But then it's never been my favorite movie either, so maybe I'm not the guy to ask. But yeah, I don't think it does. 20 comes from Zimny, and Zimny says, I am working on a Rifts clone, Rifts being all in caps because he's talking about the game Rifts. I am working on a Rifts clone, but I'm having a bit of problem making stuff sound cool. Hold on. I'm going to stop. What is it, Eli?
Aiden's now here.
Hi, Aiden. You want to get a chair?
Hey, you good looking audience. Hey, you average looking
dwarves.
Oh, he's so mean to me. All right. He says, I'm working on a Rifts clone. I'm having a bit of a problem making stuff sound cool. Which of the following classes sounds most appealing to you, and what do you think they're all about? So the classes he has, hold on, he's bumping a chair in here, so sorry about the background noise. So the classes he has available, Metal Muse, Venom Walker, Slime, Swarm Lord, Infovore, a person that eats information. Okay. Trickster, Nightmare, and that Nightmare is with a K at the beginning, so it is a Nightmare. Mouth, Cosplayer, and Wildheart. Wow.
Venom Walker, because I got a thing for poison.
Yeah, Venom Walker, because he has a thing for poison and spiders.
Hey, whoa.
I'm just saying.
I'm not here to pass judgment, though I am heavily judging you.
I'm not. No, I wouldn't even judge you. Venom Walker is actually the most badass sounding of all of these, although I also think Swarm Lord
and Infovore
are really kick ass. So the Venom Walker, what are the abilities of a Venom Walker, Aiden?
They walk on venom.
That seems to have very limited use, but I can see why it would excite you.
I'm guessing it's like a rogue/assassin.
That would make sense. All right. The Swarm Lord clearly is in charge of swarms of probably insects. That sounds pretty badass, but Infovore is the one that really, really tickles me. The idea that this class consumes information. And I'm hoping that is literal. That is, if I was playing an Infovore, I would literally want my character to consume information and use it as power. Yeah, I know.
Oh, God.
I
noticed.
What was that comment about spiders, Dad?
Yeah, no, I know how much you like spiders. He just opened up, a book that happens to be laying here on the table. And, the book has, various monster girls in it. And one of them is the monster girl. Spider.
Arachne, if you want to get the
crap. Yes, I saw the title. But anyway, enough of that. I'm just wondering, once you consume information in order to power yourself up, does that information then disappear because you've eaten it? You've actually removed information from the world in order to power yourself up? Or is it merely just you absorb information and are you censoring things ultimately by consuming it? Either way, Infovore sounds badass. That's the one I want.
I'll do the thing.
All right, you do the thing.
I did the thing.
30. All right. 30 is, whoops. I don't know how to number stuff, apparently. Apparently I have two number fours. Let's go with a 5 there.
I got a 4.
Or a 50. God, I'm bad at this game. And 30 would be number 6, and it's from Kyle. Kyle says, a fast food restaurant sells chicken in orders of 6, 9, and 20.
Oh, we're doing this?
Yeah. What is the largest number of pieces of chicken you cannot order from this restaurant? and then he says, P.S., 6 and 9. good call. The answer is 43. I've solved this before.
Is that your note there? Or is that just...
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I've solved this before.
Okay.
So,
I mean, it's on a separate Word document.
Right.
That you
so,
seem to have just... Did you have numbers on a Word document that you need?
Yes.
That's amazing.
So, anyway, the answer is 43. And I'm not going to sit here and solve it out because the article that I read on it was talking about it, or maybe it was a video, I can't remember. But I went ahead and solved it, and I came up with the answer of 43. That is the largest number that you can't order if you can only get them in 6, 9, and 20, which is what McDonald's used to sell them in. You could get orders of 6, orders of 9, and orders of 20. Now, you can order 6-piece, you can order 10-piece, you can order 20, you can order 4. I don't know if there's still a 9-piece. There, you may not even, bless you, you may not even be allowed to do odd numbers anymore, can you? I don't even remember. But I've also seen my brother go to McDonald's and order a 60-piece nugget, so you can buy a damn lot of nuggets all at once, and you don't have to worry about ordering them in nice multiples of stuff. You can just order a giant bag of nuggets, and they'll give it to you. So, but I love that problem. It's a good, what is that, combinatorics? Is that the term for this kind of math? Anyway, oh, speaking of math, it was Eliahad. Eliahad posted up for, what is the name of the app? It is Euclidea. And, wow, that sounds kind of dirty when you say it out loud, Euclidea. But it is Euclidea, and it's there's an app for it that I put onto my phone, but he gave us a link online. And you go in and you are given challenges to solve in constructing completing various tasks of mathematics using Euclidean geometry. So, you know, at first it's simple things, bisect a line, bisect an angle, but then it slowly builds up from that. So there's all sorts of complicated stuff that, you know, constructing a tangent to a circle, or else constructing a circle that is tangent to a given line. There's all sorts of cool stuff. And so I've gotten all the way through to where I've taken care of all of the free puzzles that they've given me and solved them. And now if I want to move on without paying the money, I have to go back and actually solve all of the puzzles with maximum number of stars. So apparently I was not as efficient as possible in solving some of them, so I need to go back. But oh man, the thing is so addictive. I really like playing Euclidea. It's really cool. So anyway, 97 is way down here, and that is, oh, there it is. It's from Master. Hey, Master. And Master says, what is your computer? Is it custom built? A factory buy? Modded? My computer that I use for virtually everything I do related to the podcast and most of my online stuff is, it's just a, what the heck brand do I even have? Why am I drawing a blank? Oh, that's why. I just peeled my sticker off. I no longer have my sticker here. Because, I mean, I know it's a Toshiba, but it was a Toshiba something or other, but I just took the sticker off. It's just, I mean, I think this particular machine is like 3 years old. Maybe, no? It has, do I have two voting stickers on the back of it? Yes. I have two voting stickers on it, which means it's at least 4 years old, because I
think Aiden will take it.
I have not. I don't think I've voted in any midterm elections. Oh wait, no, my wife and I did vote in the last midterm election. Shoot. So by the stickers on the outside of it that say that I've voted twice, I only know that that it's at least 2 years old. But I think it's three, and maybe closer to four. Anyway, it doesn't make any difference. It's an old machine, but it gets done what I need it to do. And I don't have any real problems with it, and so I'm fine with that. But no, I don't do anything specialized with it. That is up to, oh, hey, you need to go take some medication, buddy.
Yes, I do.
The alarm went off. It's time for medication. So, Jacob has a custom built, machine that he uses for gaming, and he built that sucker himself, because, you know, he's young and he's in the computer sciences program, and he had the motivation to do it because, well, he needs stuff that would run his games. Whereas me, you know what? I record this podcast. I go onto the internet. I use Microsoft Office. I don't have anything fancy going on. I don't need a whole lot of power here. I understand that if I wanted to try installing games on here, I would fail miserably, and I would hate myself for even trying to play them. But, I don't do any of that right now. So, you know, maybe that'll come down the pike. We'll see how it goes. 28. We already did that one. How about 36? I can do 36. And now Eli's abandoned me. And
I'm still here.
Aiden's still here, but he's highly distracted with something on his machine. So, or actually, that's not even his machine. That's Eli's machine. So, here we go. And this is from Mrs. Darks. Mrs. Darks says, what game should you never, ever play with your parents?
Cards Against Humanity.
Or your in-laws? Well, yeah, and the instinctive reaction over there is Cards Against Humanity from Aiden. But you know what? I've played Cards Against Humanity with my in-laws, and we had an awesome time. And I would love to play Cards Against Humanity with my parents because I think they would also have an equally good time. I can't imagine any game I own. Oh, no. I know what game. Strip poker. Do not play strip poker or strip anything for that matter with your parents. I think that would be a bad idea. I don't normally play strip poker.
But if I did, it would not be with my parents.
But when I do, I drink Dos Equis. I don't play strip poker, or strip anything for that matter. But yeah, if I did, it certainly would not be with my parents or my in-laws. That's a really good line to draw. That is 57. And 57 comes from a listener named Ronster. Hey, Ron. Ron says, which podcast do you listen to when you want to stay awake?
His own.
I will listen to, yeah, my own. No, I will listen to any podcast in order to stay awake. Whatever I have loaded on the phone, because most of my podcasts, I mean, it's all talking stuff. It's all thought-provoking stuff. And, well, mostly thought-provoking. And therefore, as long as I have something to listen to, I'm good. As long as I'm getting into it, that'll keep me awake. That'll, on a long drive, nothing better than podcasts and sunflower seeds. That's the way to stay awake on a long drive. So, any of them are fine. I used to have...
On the long drives I've been on with you, you usually listen to, whatever that Scary Stories one.
Yes. The No Sleep podcast.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Because I'm here. Trying to get the pocket. Hold on. I'm trying to get my podcast app back on my phone, and I need the name of a lot of my podcasts again.
All right. There we go. I had to move this because Kyle complained that last time you were on, last week, he said he loved listening to you, but he could never hear you because you would never get on mic.
Is this better?
So get, well, and you have the same problem that Eli does. Eli shoves his chair way back from the table and then leans back. And then tries to talk from there.
You'd be great. A second mic.
What? I'm not enough for you?
Okay, sorry, a third mic.
Okay, thank you. All right. Anyway. There we go. 14. And 14 is... Oh, man. Now I have to reach around this stupid microphone that I moved for Aiden's benefit. Just... God darn it. You're as bad as your brother. He opened up the pod. I'm trying to do the intro to the podcast, and he's farting over here. Like, farting audibly enough that they caught it on the mic. And
I'm so sorry to you guys.
Oh, so sad. All right. Number 10 is Master. Master says, I do not appreciate Aiden blowing me off like that. Now I need an apology in a French accent. Go.
One second, when did I blow him off?
I don't know. This is probably really old, so I'm guessing it was a Podomatic question, or
and I just said dumb question, move on.
Yeah, or something like that. And so you hurt his feelings, and you owe him an apology in a French accent. Get on the mic.
I refuse to apologize to you, American swine. So there you go.
91 is way down here. Oh, that's from Kyle. We already did it. 54. Didn't we just do 54? Maybe we've done too many Podomatics. Is that possible?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
I think there's a limit to these. No, it's from Daz. Hey, Daz. And Daz says...
I got it. This one's mine.
Okay. Daz says, F, Mary, Kill... My Little Pony, He-Man, G.I. Joe.
Okay.
And I'm going to turn this over to Aiden. Oh, for those of you who don't know the rules of F. Mary Kill, my son is now going to have to pick one of these three for the F, which is a night of passion, a night of serious, hardcore lovemaking. And then one that he will marry and live with for the rest of his life. And then the third one he will have to just kill. So, go ahead, Aiden. What do you got?
All right. So, for obvious reasons, I'd have my Night of Passion with He-Man.
Oh, yeah. No, obviously.
And then I'd kill G.I. Joe, if that's even possible.
It is.
Okay, and then I'd marry My Little Pony, because there's no risk of them dying in battle. And then me having to become a widower.
Ooh, very good call. Wow, all right. And you know what? I think I'm going to go with that one as well, because I don't think I could stand to be married to either He-Man or G.I. Joe. I mean, come on, Twilight Sparkle, she's cool, right?
Whoa. Fluttershy, man.
Seriously?
Oh, Fluttershy by far.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. You know what, I'm not even going to have this discussion with you, that's fine. and then, if you're marrying My Little Pony, then yeah, oh, definitely take He-Man for the Night of Passion. Absolutely. You know what? I would even start with him as Prince Adam.
And then fondle his gray skull.
Yes, thus initiating his transformation into He-Man. Yes, that's exactly where I'm going with that. Oh my god, okay. This is going to be the last one because we got A, the good R2 scream for that one, and B, he rolled us a double zero, which means super auspicious. You can't get any better than that. And number 100 is from my brother Kyle, and Kyle says, you are given the option to either, one, win $1 million for yourself, or two, have me win $10 million, but you don't get to tell me that you were responsible and you can't have any of the money. What do you do?
$1 million for myself, no questions, all hands down.
Wow. Yeah, working under the theory that actually that kind of money just causes more problems than it resolves, dude, I'm going to take that hit for you. And because I love you, because I care about you, and I care about the future of your children. I mean, look, I've got two of my kids that are already practically out of the house. They're almost off my payroll as it is. Thus, it would only be Eli and Noah who I would have to watch out for. And the $1 million is not nearly as dangerous as 10, clearly. So I would be willing to throw myself on that sword and protect you and yours from the dangers, the evils inherent in that kind of cash. So you're welcome. All right. So that is the end of the Podomatic, which means it's time for GLaDOS to give us a recap of this week's episode.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2016, the last time I'm going to get to say that, by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was Weezer's In the Garage. And She Blinded Me with... No, I didn't use Weezer's In the Garage because I didn't do an official gaming table. It was She Blinded Me with Science as performed by William Shatner. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. You want instructions on how to make your very own pocket mod? Go to pocketmod.com. Don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network. Angry Geeks versus Cast and the Curious, Me Like Trivia, quality nerd podcasting from quality nerd people. If you want to do something nice for this podcast, this is really tough for me. If it sounds like I'm being a little awkward and stilted, it's because Aiden's doing that thing over my shoulder where he imitates all of my gestures, and so I'm working really hard to not gesture because it just makes it more distracting for me. But now I'm really having a tough time concentrating. So if you want to do something nice for this podcast, recommend it to a friend. If you enjoy it, then spread the word and let other people enjoy it. Word of mouth. It's my bread and butter, people. Remember, I'm always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. So don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me. Save me all of that grueling research. Oh, my contact information is on a separate page, and I would never remember it if I didn't look. Mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is to come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up, send me a message. We will hang out together. We will become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it's time for Listener Betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to my my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. I go out to Facebook and I post up, hey guys, I'm recording. Anything that you guys want to put in there, I will read off right at the end of the cast, which is what I'm doing now. So, first off, we're going to start with Facebook. And on Facebook, I've got Nelly. Nelly says, Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas, Nelly. Did anyone have George Michael on the Deadpool? No. No one saw that coming. 53 years old, that would have been a lot of points. So, and in fact, seeing everybody's lists for next year, I don't even know that anybody had him for next year either. So, I know George Michael has been on people's lists before, but not this time. But then she says, any New Year's revolutions? Revolutions. I don't know if that was intentional or not. Any New Year's revolutions that you or your family have?
New Year's revolutions, just as unexpected as the Spanish Inquisition.
Yeah, we were planning to overthrow some South American governments, but other than that, not so much. As far as New Year's resolutions goes, we don't really. I've done them before, and for all I know, someone will start a thread on Nerd Pride this week, which has happened many times in the past, where people start talking about what resolutions we've got, and then a few months down the line, someone will then post up and say, okay, here's what you said your resolutions were. How'd everybody do on those? And it's usually just a litany of failures. But look, I've been on this diet with keeping in touch with the Nerd Pride, what is it, our Nerd Pride Diet and Exercise Club? What do we call ourselves? I don't even remember. It's in there. But
not to be fat nerds.
Yeah. Some people already aren't fat, but they're trying to maintain weight or to get healthier, exercise more. There's lots of goals in there.
The gym nerds.
Yeah. But haven't been doing very well with it. I think the holidays are just killing me, and I've got all sorts of excuses for why I'm not losing weight. But whatever. Hopefully after New Year's, start back on that with a little more seriousness, a little more vigor. We'll see how things go. So hopefully, but no resolutions that I know of. So next one is from Sarah Beth. Sarah Beth says, "Merry Christmas, Nerd Pride." Hey, Merry Christmas to you, young lady. Loved your Christmas jammies. Tell everybody about them if you haven't already. I haven't, so this is a great time for it. I just posted a picture on Facebook I posted it last night. And it had a picture of our whole family in our Christmas pajamas because every night or every Christmas Eve, we always have all the presents under the tree. And then Mom and Dad come out and they say, oh, you guys have been so good. You know what? Everybody gets to open one gift for Christmas Eve. But just one. And when they were really little, the kids used to get really excited about the idea that they got to open one gift on Christmas Eve. And then slowly over the years, even Noah now has figured out that, oh, it's going to be Christmas pajamas.
And they're always themed.
And they're always themed. And this year our theme was Pokemon, specifically not just Pokemon pajamas.
But Pikachu.
But everybody's shirt had Pikachu on it somewhere. So we had our Pikachu Pokemon pajama theme this year, and it was really adorable. In previous years, we did matching Hobbit shirts. We've done
Doctor Who Futurama crossovers.
Yeah, we did Doctor Who crossover stuff.
No, that's if Bob Ross became Doctor Who, he'd be Doctor Hugh.
It's cute. We did superheroes.
Hold on. Before I get crucified on the internet, when Bob Ross becomes the Doctor,
I know the difference, and I'm sorry.
Okay. You're so good. But we've done superhero theme before. Last year we did, each one of us got a shirt with our four favorite Munchkin cards across the front of it. Well, not four favorite, but as in, we each got a race and a class and, a monster and then a weapon. And so each one of us had four cards that were most appropriate to us put on the front of our pajamas. We've done so many. We've been doing themed pajamas since you guys were little. So, I mean, we've had like 12 years of them, and I can only remember maybe half. So, it's a Christmas tradition we picked up from my family that when Lisa spent her first Christmas with me and my family while they were still living in Japan, and on Christmas Eve, I think. Yeah, Christmas Eve, we all opened one gift, and it was Christmas pajamas. And so everybody in the family, including Lisa, had matching Christmas pajamas. And they were just, straight up, regular pajamas, but everybody matched. And so we're all wearing matching pajamas for Christmas morning. And we liked that well enough that we continued it with our family. My family has a long tradition of matching dorky outfits. When we went to Worlds of Fun when I was a kid, we all went to Worlds of Fun, which is a huge amusement park in Kansas City. And we decided we were going to wear matching shirts because it was basically for identification purposes. That, if you wanted to find someone in our group, look around for this shirt, you'll spot them quicker. And so if everyone's wearing matching shirts, it's just easier to find people. This was before cell phones, obviously. And so, therefore, if you wanted to find somebody in the park, you just had to look for them. And so when we went, we all wore matching Griswold shirts. So all of our shirts said Griswold across the back. And big Griswold from obviously National Lampoon's Vacation. And not many people got the joke, but the ones that did, it was super funny. So, in fact, I think we did Griswold shirts a couple of times. They were red and white shirts the first time, and then we got some gray and blue ones printed up the next time we did a big amusement park trip. It was just really cool. We like our Griswold shirts. So anyway, we do the same thing for our pajamas, matching theme pajamas every year, and the kids look forward to it. We really enjoy it. All of us really like doing it. And usually Lisa is somewhere around, before Halloween, she's like, okay, we got to come up with a theme. We need to figure out something here. So,
sorry, Bear is eating fries and we're trying to stop him.
Yes, Bear is digging at something on the table here and it's driving me nuts. So, anyway, that's it for Listener Betrayal on Facebook. Let's head on over to my forums at nerdbrideradio.com/nerds. And the first one is, there's a couple at least. Let me refresh and make sure I'm not missing anything. I would hate to be missing stuff. All right, the first one is from Kaz Monster. And Kaz says, did I get everything from Sarah Beth there? I just realized that. Okay, yes. Tell everybody about the pajamas if you haven't already. All right, the first one is from Kaz. And Kaz says, I got a chef's toque for Christmas. Sweet. How very cool. And I just hit reply so that I could type in that we're done. So I don't know what the rest of his commentary is. But we'll find out momentarily, won't we? All right, done. Come on, faster. All right, there we go. All right, I got a chef's toque for Christmas. My kids are really coming through as gift givers. What did your kids get for you that you are happiest about?
Say mine.
They got me a ton of games. That's what they got me.
Yeah, but which one was your favorite?
Which one was my favorite, Aiden?
I don't know. You tell them.
I don't know how I could choose between Secret Hitler and Sushi Go and Exploding Kittens and all those dice. I don't remember which kid gave me what, so they're all my favorites. But clearly Secret Hitler was my favorite.
Good boy.
All right, sweet. I nailed it. And actually, Secret Hitler really is my favorite. Oh, my God. You guys know how I love Secret Hitler. This is the best. I can't wait to play. So, super good. What big plans do you have for Nerd Pride in 2017? Give us at least two. Okay, my big plans are we're going to start a new hero battle. Is that a big plan? Probably start up a new game of Paranoia coming up. For Nerd Pride, the podcast, go ahead, Jacob. Jacob's all worried about making noise with the door as he's coming through. But really, I just want to get a Nerd Pride Network page done up on the website, because I've got a Nerd Pride Network page and the formatting is screwed and it's really bad. And I really need to put together, it's not that tough to build a web page. I just want a Nerd Pride Network page that looks pretty and links to all four podcasts. And, you know, there's dreams I would have that, you know, you could have the most recent episodes of all the podcasts would be showing up and you could have links for everything. But I don't even need that. All I really need is just a pretty page. All four podcasts are visible with links to their main pages so you can find the episodes. That's all I want. And I put together the page I have. It didn't come out the way I wanted. And so, I didn't do a whole lot of work to fix it. It's part of my problems. I'm working in WordPress and I need to not do that. But I just haven't put in the effort to get it done. But man, that would be my biggest thing. If I could get a Nerd Pride Network page done, then I could be in a position to actually go out and advertise more, or talk more about Nerd Pride Network itself. But right now, I talk about it. I mentioned it at the beginning and the end of the cast, and I love the fact that we have a network of various podcasts for all your nerdly needs. But again, while as much as I love talking about it, as much as I love the fact that we're doing it, I have yet to give people a nice, easy place to go to. I would like to just say, you know, nerdprideradio.com/network. Done. And then people could go to nerdprideradio.com/network, and there would be all the information they need. It would be so perfect. But I haven't done it yet. So that would be my big one. All right, the next one is from Reginald.
Oh, no.
And Reginald says, "Hey, Mike." "Hey, Reg. What is your best zoo story? If you could answer in your best Christopher Walken impression, that would be wonderful." All right. Well, God, I can't do a Walken impression. I mean, I could if I wasn't under pressure like this. I get so self-conscious. Oh, now I'm making it worse.
Look, there's no pressure. We're all just judging you.
I can't do it. I'm too self-conscious.
No, look.
How about I just do if my best Christopher Walken impression is just a crappy one?
Yeah. It says your best. It doesn't say it has to be good.
All right. So, we were at the zoo, and that's my best Christopher Walken impression. And, all right, maybe I've told you this story before. However, when one of our children was very little, the tiger was angry at the teenagers. Teenagers, how you say? I don't even know if this is French anymore. I can't even do it. Can't even do this. I can't maintain an accent crap.
You're like New Yorker Italian that spent a year in France.
It's me, Mario. I am.
You're indiscriminate Eastern European.
Hey, I'm podcasting here. So. Anyway, teenagers had been taunting the tiger, and then the tiger pissed on them. Well, actually, it wasn't actually piss. As much as it was a combination of piss and musk and whatever it is that tigers do when they're angry. And some of it got on our baby in the stroller. And we've had debates on whether that was Aiden or Jacob. But since Aiden's here, we'll say it was Aiden. So Aiden got pissed on by a tiger while we were at the zoo. So there you go. Oh, wait, no. The best story was when Aiden was sitting against the glass in the old gorilla house and the gorilla came up and slapped the glass right over his head. And, I mean, he was just a little one. You were maybe 2 years old at the time. And the gorilla slaps the glass right over Aiden's head. And everyone in the room freaks out. And Aiden didn't even notice. I mean, I don't even know if he registered that something hit the glass at all. But this is, look, the same gorilla that's been hitting the glass for years. And I've already talked about him before. I can't remember what his name is. But he's one of their big males. And he thinks it's funny. He loves watching people scatter. He loves watching people freak out about it because it's entertaining to him. And this last time when he accidentally cracked the glass and it made news and everyone was freaking out about that poor gorilla and, you know, look at how angry he is and look at how, oh, he just wants to get out and, oh, he's suffering in there. He's laughing at us. He's having a good time. He enjoys that crap. So, I mean, you gotta watch him. You gotta watch him when he does things like that. He's just doing it for fun. He's playing with people. So, anyway, That's my best news story is the gorilla one. So, sorry I couldn't do a Christopher Walken impression. I am so bad at this. And Reg, oh, I'm sorry. Reg continues. P.S. Are we best friends yet? Dude, we are best friends in the world. All right. That's it. That's all I got. You got anything else, man?
No.
All right. Well, you guys, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, Festivus for the rest of us.
Boxing Day.
Yeah. Oh, hey, have a good Boxing Day. Seriously, take your leftovers out to the poor people. That'll teach them.
Also, goodbye 2016.
Oh, yeah. And
what a terrible year
this
to be
is,
alive.
This is the last Nerd Pride Radio for 2016. The next recording, hopefully, will be done New Year's Day next week, and we'll have an awesome new podcast for an awesome new year, and it'll be spectacular. This is, by the way, my second full year of podcasting. I was so sporadic, and I kept taking summers off and missing seasons, but 2015, 2016, I have podcasted 47 weeks out of the year, so pretty damn good, and I appreciate you guys for helping me make that happen. Seriously, appreciate you guys coming around, everything that you contribute to it. You guys are awesome. Thank you. This has been a wonderful Christmas, a wonderful, wonderful year in podcasting, if not a great 2016 in general. So, I love you guys, but I'm about to start having a giant coughing fit, so I'm going to have to say goodbye. Good night. I'll talk to you next week.
Goodbye, everybody!